Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meow, how you doing? I'm a cat. I'm Pete Donaldson the cat, and I'm ready to lick my paws. I'm with Luke Moore, who is also a cat. We are cat people for the remainder of this show. It's a Thursday, heading into the weekend. Cataday, obviously being our favourite day of the week, being cat. What was that?
It was purring.
It's a horse.
It's purring.
It's a horse.
I can't do the rolled tongue thing. Yeah.
What, is that what your cat does?
No, do it without making a sound. Do it just with your... Yeah, that's a purr.
Purr. You can't purr.
No.
What?
I can't.
That is your... What?
I can't do the thing with my tongue to make it go like
do
that.
Do a purr.
That's what I can do.
Purr. You can't do that?
No.
Magical.
Ask me again.
Can you do a purr?
I believe we've established that. As Alan Partridge
what
would say.
What a start to the show.
Happy Thursday, Pete.
I'm all right, yeah.
I haven't asked you how you are yet.
Sorry, I'm kind of... look...
Why are we recording these shows so early? Because you were showing off. Listen.
The best players, they don't think about the control. They're all doing something else, all right?
Yeah, okay.
Automatic control. Just know I'm in the room and then I'm off.
How do you fit into that?
Nuclear fission. I'm already off. I'm off on a new subject.
A new tangent.
New tangent, yeah.
When you quit your job at Absolute Radio,
yeah.
Because in your words, commercial radio is dead.
Dead.
You suggested that then you would be able to do early shows.
Yes. It's a Monday, isn't it?
What's happened?
It's a Monday, though.
It's a Thursday, Pete. For the purpose of this show, it's a fucking Thursday.
Oh, right, yeah, but it's a Monday, though, isn't it?
We recorded on a Monday, yeah, but it's a Thursday show.
I know.
Don't tell everyone everything. Leave a bit to their imagination.
Well, then on a Thursday, I could do an early record because I'm into the hustle.
Well, what have you been doing on the weekend that's made you so tired on
a
Monday?
I went to Southampton.
Oh, yeah, you already said. All right, fair enough.
I watched the She Believes Cup match between England and Japan, and I had to look at Phil Neville's face. That's enough to... That's like eating a teaspoon of uranium. Looking at Phil Neville's face. A man who's managed to just fail upwards in life.
Do you remember the brilliant thing about Phil Neville when he first started doing co-commentary and someone once observed...
That was... I thought he was just first doing coke.
No. Someone once...
I'd like to see a bit of that.
Someone once observed that he sounded like he was recording his commentary in a cupboard and he didn't want to wake up his neighbours. he just couldn't unhear it. He was just like, well, they've done really well there. Anyway, Peter, as it's Monday, and this is a Thursday show,
Thursday.
And we've confused our listeners already, I'm not going to ask you how your week's been.
All right.
Because that's a lie.
All right.
But what I am going to say to you is, we got inundated, absolutely inundated. With emails and tweets and everything about this is Democracy Manifest.
Yeah, that's the thing about the show and podcasts in general. When you've got a bit of a thread or a trope,
yeah.
When something happens with that trope, it's really hard to get work done because everybody sends you it. And we're very appreciative.
Well, because there's been an update. The man who is known on this show as Julian Assange.
I thought he died that
well,
guy.
This is the interesting thing about it. So... I mean, you're going to need to have at least be on nodding terms with this show to understand this, but I'm going to assume that you do when
this
I say...
This is Democracy Manifest!
That guy. You could probably press the button, couldn't you?
Yeah, if I'd labelled it properly.
Yeah, you haven't labelled it properly, so that's fine. That's Jerry Halliwell. That's
no,
O-Town.
So, Sheikh, you're telling...
No.
Hey, y'all!
No.
Farmer
so,
Meemaw.
First step...
That's the fart guy.
...is to find the right position for you. Put your hands down and lower your chest to the ground. Just do that. And pretend...
That's Chris sound.
The problem appears...
That's the posh guy at the airport.
We haven't got...
Yep.
No, that's it!
Huh?
So, basically...
No. Nope.
Simon Le Bon.
Just endlessly, there's a lot of clips.
What is the charge?
There we go.
Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
So that guy.
Yeah.
The best arrest ever.
The famous lapside idiot.
Yeah. So someone professed to have found him a while ago, said he's a Hungarian-Australian guy.
Yeah.
He got busted for doing 200 like odd skipping restaurants without paying the bill. He's also a chess master, blah, blah, blah. Mm. That was kind of, oh, that mystery's been solved then.
I thought it was like an actor and the two camera thing. That was my thing.
No, it wasn't. It was right. It was definitely a natural thing. But okay. It wasn't actually that guy. A sports betting company in Australia found the proper guy.
Mm.
He wasn't the Hungarian immigrant or the chess master, whatever. It was just this Australian guy. Who found it, and he's appeared in the music video for an Australian punk band, The Chats, who are really good. I actually quite like them. I was really pleased to see that. Anyway, so it's interesting because he's been discovered. He looks great.
He looks like he hasn't missed a step.
There's like a little... Oh, I haven't got it plugged in, but there's a little short interview with him on the internet.
Mm. He sounds great. He looks great. I can't believe... Because that clip looks really, really old, and it is really, really old, and I can't believe the guy... It looks like he's just grown a beard. That's the net result of like 20 years of doing what he does.
Apparently, he was called Cecil George Edwards.
I remember Cecil George. Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
So thanks very much for everyone to get in touch with that, Pete. You are going to do your own dine and dash sometime soon, right?
No, have I ever dined? I did once in the on the island of Jeju near Korea. I was me and a friend Craig were playing darts and sinking a few. Cold ones, and
he means beers.
He means beers. Had three or four, and then we retired to our Airbnb. And then the next day, I came back to the same place, and this woman just ran over and went, "You did not pay your bill last night."
Oh, really?
And I was
"You just
like,
forgot."
And imagine, you know what I'm like?
Yeah.
Oh my god,
you'd have been so awkward.
I overpay for things. I tip heavily because of the things I've done in my life. I felt awful. So I dined and dashed on that night. I drank
by accident.
I darted and dashed.
Have you ever done a thing where you sat in a restaurant for so long that you've forgotten that you've still got to pay it and you just get to go and you? So I guess that was like that, right? But it was just writ large.
Yeah, a lot of my meals are paid for by other people. Yeah, because people like to wine and dine me. So I just assume that someone else is going to foot the bill.
Where has that come from?
I don't know.
Where has that come from? Here's a story, Peter, that you will bloody well love. In fact, when I first saw it, I thought of you instantly for a couple of reasons. You'll see why. Mark Busby sent me this story.
Mark Busby, babes, he always makes me cry. Thinking of the teams of years gone by. I used to love that song when I was a kid.
He's emailed in about doctors warning people not to put frozen potatoes in their anus.
That would be problematic because the crystals would start to freeze the anus.
Doctors
get them out.
Have issued a warning
against
putting frozen potatoes in your anus. This comes as an increasing number of hemorrhoid sufferers have reportedly taken to the internet to seek alternative solutions to their problem
instead
of consulting their doctor.
That would be soothing, but problematic, you imagine, yeah.
Apparently, it's been going around the internet because the internet is a fucking cesspit these days.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
That inserting frozen potatoes into your anus for 30 minutes is the answer.
Mm.
So one article claims you need to peel a raw potato, cut it into thin slices like you do for French fries, put the slices into the freezer and wait until they are frozen. Insert the frozen potato slice in your anus and leave it inside for 30 seconds. Repeat the process for 3 to 5 days. The next 3 to 5 days, leave the slice inside for 30 seconds more each time. You're making it up as you go along.
Get a frozen pad rather than like something that you can actually freeze rather than, you know, like a wipe clean kind of plastic Kind of like a frozen patch that you would use to like alleviate like muscle pain, bind that up and then put that up your bum. Don't use a potato because the starch and the it would start.
It's not going
to
stay frozen for long. It's a thin slice anyway.
But the water vapor on the side or even just because it's just a big ball of water, isn't it? It's very watery and starchy.
Yeah.
And those proteins and those that frozen water is just gonna it's just gonna do damage to the cells of your bloody hemorrhoids.
Well, the doctors chimed in. Idiots. They're always chipping off, aren't they? Bloody doctors. Oh, know-it-alls. Bad enough for them.
We've gone to medical school.
Yeah.
Can't deal with real life. I'm gonna take 10 years off.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do 12-hour shifts because I don't like the life.
I love the idea.
I don't like sleeping.
Love the idea of cocking my leg up on the doctor's table, getting a frozen potato, shoving it out my bum while screaming in the face of a doctor, University of Life, mate! University of Life! The doctor said, there is no medical evidence that putting frozen potatoes inside the anus can help cure piles, so I would urge caution to anyone thinking of doing it. Only urging caution, yeah. Not telling them not to do it.
Yeah, proceed with caution.
Piles often go away on their own after a few days, but there are some tried and trusted ways to keep them at bay. Drink plenty of fluids, going against the Donaldson mantra. Maintain a fibre-rich diet, going against the Donaldson mantra. And having regular warm baths. Do you have regular warm baths?
Don't have a bath.
Again, you are the dictionary definition of a man who could get piles.
Risking piles and hemorrhoids, are they the same things?
Yeah, I believe right. So, yeah.
It's kind of just bits of your canal just getting inflamed, isn't it?
I think isn't it a pop out? I think it's a inflamed blood vessel, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
So why do they need so many blood vessels? That's why they put drugs up your bum, isn't it? Suppositories and the like. Because there's a lot of blood vessels, so it's really easy to get in your bloodstream.
Are we getting into the old disclaimer territory here?
Well, who used to blow cocaine up people's bums?
Oh, right, yeah.
Because it's just really easy to, because it gets straight to into your bloodstream really quickly.
Right.
It's a rush! What a rush! Oh, Jake the Snake's back in wrestling.
Is he?
Yeah, he's got an undercut like me.
He must be so old.
He's got an undercut like me. Yeah, but the thing with Jake the Snake, he was never an amazing wrestler, but my God, he could do the mic stuff. He's so chilling.
Absolutely. He's 64 years old.
Absolutely
frightening. Yeah, because he looks like an old granddad.
Yeah, watching Jake the Snake.
An evil granddad.
Watching Jake the Snake at the height of his alcoholism, rolling around on the floor using his snake, I forget his name, as a penis, is an image that will stay with me for a long time. Hashtag listen to wrestle me.
I'm just looking at a photo of him now from 2 days ago.
Yeah. He's sort of dyed his hair as well. He doesn't look too bad.
On the mic.
He's looked a lot worse.
On the mic, he looks like he's got up to say something at an AA meeting.
He's been in enough AA meetings. He's had demons. He's had demons.
Oh, he has. I've seen Beyond the Mat. It's absolutely chilling.
Speaking of putting potatoes up your bum, he used to put the snake in the fridge.
Why?
In the minibar. Because it just calms them down, doesn't it? Just because they can go in.
Oh, because they're cold-blooded.
Mm. So yeah. Just stick them in the freezer. Calms them down. And if you need to calm a snake down or euthanize a tortoise, put them in the freezer.
I don't think like a wrestler. I know it was like the '80s, but I don't think a wrestler traveling all around the US with a questionable attitude to substances should be traveling with a pet snake.
Cock will be waiting as macaw.
Yeah, all that. That should also not be happening.
It's a gimmick that, all right, you can enjoy the first couple of days.
It looks good, yeah.
Yeah, but then you're like, I've got to take this to bar store.
Yeah.
I've got to take this to Chattanooga. Is it Chattanooga?
Yeah. That's
that place?
Yeah. I think it's in Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah.
What have we learned here? Do not put a frozen snake or macaw up your bum if you've got piles.
No.
You never suffer from piles, no?
No, never. Frozen snake up your bum would probably work better.
Shape of it.
And also the water, wouldn't be as watery. It wouldn't freeze the ice. You wouldn't get icicles up your bum. You wouldn't get ice.
It's all gone a bit kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some emails.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership.
Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's okay for macho men to show every emotion available right there, you know, because I've cried 1,000 times, I'm going to cry some more.
Another great Mikesman.
Yeah.
Another great Mikesman. If you'd like to get into the show, it's hello@luganpeteshow.com.
It is. Have you got an email there, Peter?
I have, sorry. I was reading the email address out, so I thought you were
all right. Well, I can do one. I've got one here.
All right.
I've got one from Darren.
Oh.
Who's responded to an earlier piece of homework, which was, I thought I was going to die
when?
And he says, I found myself standing in a Derbyshire field in the pitch black, pissed, with the sickly, malty taste of 9 pints of Brooklyn lager in my mouth, all swelling around my stomach, and I was up to my knees in freezing mud with the sound of a galloping, panting horse circling me.
Wow, how's that happen?
Pretty full on, right?
Yeah.
Without even the comfort of the light from my phone because of a dead battery. Or coat.
Yeah.
No excuse, he says.
All out of options here.
He says, to cut a long story short, number one, unplanned pints after work. Number two, last train home to a semi-rural location. Number three, shortcut through a field.
Yeah.
Number four, you know the rest.
Angry horse.
With visions of regional news reporters standing in a field where I died, telling of the dangers of spooked horses and drunken shortcuts. I eventually got home about an hour later after climbing over a wall into someone's garden, smashing the roof of a rabbit hutch and setting off the sensor, which seemed like, after 15 minutes in total darkness trying not to get eaten by a horse, the world's most powerful floodlight, I ended up about 100 yards from where I started before the doomed shortcut. I'll never take a shortcut through a field again. Keep up the good work, lads. Darren. That's
horse,
frightening.
That genuinely gives me chills.
It's also a very stupid way to die as well. Isn't it?
Well, yeah, because he'd just knock you over and then... I mean, he would just knock you over and then that'd be out. It's not... It would stamp on you or anything, but yeah, it wouldn't be ideal.
Mm. Have you ever done anything like that?
I had a Brooklyn Lager last night.
Did you?
I had one bottle of Brooklyn Lager in the fridge and I never drink at home, but I was like,
what a depressing
that's
scene.
That's going.
Was it out of 10 in terms of depressing scenes? How bad was it?
Nah, it was all right. It was all right. I don't like that at all. It just reminds me of like the unpredictability. We used to have a walk at the school. We used to take a shortcut through a horse's field and it was very much the horse's field. Sometimes there'd be three horses in there. Sometimes there'd be only one horse, but all of the time they'd always take a run at you.
When I used to...
It's very thrilling way to start a day's education.
Yeah, I think it really was. Kind of a, it's a very northern story that. You've told me that before, and I can't really think of... Mind you, there were quite a few fields in the couple in the two towns or villages along from where I lived.
Did you never have travelling folk who would have, like, a council house, but they'd have a horse in the front of their garden?
No.
That would happen quite a lot.
No. Yeah. There were travellers who used to come to town and rock up and pitch in, like, a field or whatever, but they would never sort of...
Have a council house.
In static homes, yeah. But the... The thing I was going to say was when I used to go out with a girl from the West Country, when we go and visit her parents, we'd go for walks. And her parents were very kind of serious walkers, knew all the public footpaths, knew the rights of way and all the rest of it. And I'm not an expert on this in this particular field, excuse the pun, but there are public footpaths that are like the public have a right of way down no matter where they are kind of thing.
Right,
and if someone's built a fence, you can just climb over the fence. Or if someone's built a house and it's part of their garden, you can just walk straight through. And it causes a lot of problems in the countryside as far as I know. But anyway, it happens. And I remember once going for a walk and we're going through these fields, public footpath, etc. And we went over this stile to go into a field. And there was a gigantic bull in the field.
Wow.
Right. And they're just walking through it. And I was thinking, I mean, if this bull decides to go for it, one of us is dead.
I'm wearing an Arsenal shirt. Nightmare. Yeah.
It was, apparently the red thing is a myth as well.
It's a myth, right. Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, so, I mean, you walk past it, and at one point we're only about 6 feet away from this bull. And it's just there, eating the grass or whatever.
Do you not think that...
Big ring for its nose, like a cartoon. Yeah,
cool. Yeah. Something to grab hold of, eh?
Yeah.
I don't know what I mean by
But would you be frightened in that situation?
I would be very concerned, but also I think maybe our images of bulls are wide of the mark because, you know, we only see bulls kicking the fuck off and smashing up China shops, which has never happened.
No. How does a bull even get in there?
I know. But I like that story. I like that very much. Just what? That kind of like white hot fear of going, ooh.
What does Darren think is going to happen with the horse? He's up to his knees in frozen mud.
Yeah.
Then the horse is galloping around him. What's the horse doing? The horse is probably fairly thinking, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
What's it going to do to you?
Maybe it's trying to escort you out of the field because it knows that you're 10 sheets to the wind.
Probably saying, get on my back.
Get on my back. Yeah.
To ride me out.
Get
on
my back and ride his riders home.
I told you my best mate Jimmy got bitten by a horse, didn't
I?
Yeah. To be fair, so it could be dangerous. do you know, am I wrong to think that when I see a video of a bull fight, am I wrong that I like it when the bull jumps up into the crowd and hits some people?
I like it when the horns absolutely gore the fuck out of the bloke who's supporting it.
Same, yeah.
Like right up through the diaphragm.
Yeah.
Right through into the lungs.
One got it right up the bot, which is a more extreme treatment for piles. there's a famous picture of one getting right up the bum.
Yeah. Look, he's earned the right to be there, I would say, the bull.
If you're going to get there, if you're going to get into a ring with a bull, one, it's on you.
Yeah.
If you're going to sort of tip the odds, so you've got like a couple of weapons or whatever,
are they our weapons?
I think they have spikes to stick it into the back, don't they?
Into the back of the bull?
Yeah, that's how they do it. Oh. And they kill it at the end, but the coup de grace at the end, don't they? It's grim.
It is grim.
That's why The Sun Also Rises, that Hemingway novel, is so good because it's like nothing happens in it really, apart from they go to a lot of bullfights and get pissed. And I hate bullfighting. But it's so good. It's still such a good read.
Right.
It's amazing. And like for a book to be about a subject that I genuinely find abhorrent and still really enjoy reading it is a testament to it, I think. And that's the review he's after from me.
Is that the book of the week?
It's my book of the week.
It says book of the week.
Right, do your email.
Joe Bartlett. There's been a lot of talk recently about the livery enjoyable bath beer. Bath beer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, today I came across this hotel in Prague, which takes the bath beer to the next level. The bath itself has two taps, obviously hot and cold, but also... It has an extra tap pouring unlimited fresh beer from the brewery that is attached to the hotel.
Whoa. It's pretty cool.
I've never been, but I would be more than happy to head on a fact-finding mission on behalf of the show. Just let me know where to send the expense form. Cheers, Joe. Imagine getting dehydrated, because your skin gets all wrinkly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
On your fingertips. What would happen if you got really dehydrated?
Yeah.
Would that level out? Would you just not get that because you're so dehydrated?
It'd be ironic, wouldn't it?
It would be ironic.
I was in Germany a weekend or two ago, and in that particular part of Germany, it's not the big steins of beer. They have these really grumpy waiters at all these bars, and they bring you small beers.
Right.
And they're really rude. I don't know why it's traditional, they're rude.
Who's this?
I was just in Germany.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is it traditional they're rude?
Yeah, apparently they're just known for being kind of quite brusque. And the reason they bring you small beers is because they get paid per beer.
Okay.
But I think they take a self-employed stance on the waiting of the tables. Mm. And if they spill a beer, for example, they have to pay for it.
Right.
And their job is to get you for as many beers as possible, and they get paid by beer.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I don't know how it works in Prague, but I've never heard of a bar with a beer pump in it. That's great.
Have you ever been to a it's like a theme pub. I think it's called like Dave's or Alan's Last Resort in America. And they're all over the place, and they are basically it's like a family restaurant,
right?
Where you go / drinking establishment, where all of the staff are the rudest people, and that's the thing. That's the trope.
I've heard about this. You just get insulted, right?
You just get insulted constantly, just calling you a tit and not. I think I maybe told this story on the podcast before, but there was a family enjoying a meal, and they would make little hats out of the like these massive serviettes, and they'd draw like an insult on the hat, and they'd put the good you fucking prick,
yeah,
and they'd put the fucking prick hat on your head, and I was watching one family getting this treatment, and this book wrote, this waiter was being really rude because that's the thing, you are flat chested, and put it on the head of a couldn't have been older than 14-year-old girl.
That is it outrageous.
Was the worst bit of behaviour I have ever seen, and I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
It was the worst bit of behaviour I have ever seen from a man.
At what point does a manager say, right, we need to
dial
that
down? I don't know what the boundaries are.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are here.
Dial it down.
Yeah.
Dial it down.
You told me to be as offensive as I could. It's like going there.
Statistically, with three of you, you'll get cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, what have you written on mine? I've written that both your parents are dead. Yeah, where do you draw the line? That's the key point. So if you go in there, tempting to say, if you go in there, you deserve everything you get.
Yeah.
But with children, it's a bit different.
It is. It is. It was. His barometer for how old people were was off. And what? That's not a great state.
Also, not great training for a job at another restaurant, is it?
No. You have to basically just rotate around there, isn't it?
Good evening, and fuck you. Oh, sorry.
No, they were like that. Yeah,
old job.
They were like that. It was just like, it's kind of like, all right, what do you pricks want?
Wow.
It was like, oh, I'm going to have two beers, please.
I
might fucking get round to it.
You might like that. I think you'd like it.
Yeah.
Because you don't like people making a fuss, do you?
No. Well, no, but that's the problem. They do make a fuss. They constantly insult you.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where are you fucking pricks from? Ah, you fucking limeys. Limeys, that thing? Are we limeys?
Yeah, yeah.
I forget.
Probably get tedious, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We'll squeeze one more email in from Pete from Wrexham, who emailed in a week or so ago, and he says, listening to the most recent episode, when you set the homework, I was instantly transported back to one of the scariest and most embarrassing moments of my adult life. I thought I was going to die when...
Uh-oh!
On holiday with a couple of mates back in Malia in 2002. Malia. For the avoidance of doubt, that is where the first In Between Us movie is set, which tells you everything you need to know.
Malia is one of those places that I rarely hear of because people don't go there anymore.
Is it a thing anymore today?
No.
My uncle used to live in Crete, and I had to drive through Malia at once, and it was horrendous. Anyway, he says, we went on a cruise to a smaller island near Crete. So, holiday in Malia, 2002, him and his pals on a cruise to a smaller island near Crete. Quite a sedate affair, said Pete. Not a booze cruise by any means. However, the previous night, we've been out drinking and working our way through the cocktail list at one of the bars just off the main strip. I'm not and never have been a big drinker, but as a younger man, I often went past my limits. You sound just like me, Pete. That night, I didn't feel too bad, and we all went to sleep fairly early to get up in time for the cruise. All was going well until we stopped at a tranquil bay to jump off the top of the boat and have a little swim. I joined my mates up top and dutifully waited my turn. I happily jumped in, but then things went wrong. Upon hitting the water, my arms and legs instantly cramped up. I resurfaced and then realised that somehow I jumped off the wrong side of the boat and there was no one nearby to help. As panic and realisation set in, I somehow made it back to the boat and reached up for some beading that ran around the hull. In excruciating pain, I pulled myself around the boat and after what felt like hours, it was probably only 5 minutes, I made it to the ladder and was helped back up by a couple of good Samaritans. When I told my two pals about my terrifying ordeal, they mercilessly took the piss not only for the rest of the holiday, but every time we've met up since too. For nearly 18 years, my nowhere near death experience is brought up on our catch-ups. Love the show, and keep up the good work, Pete. That would be really frightening. I'm going to side with Pete from Wrexham here.
What, he just jumped in the water and his arms just cramped up?
Arms and legs.
Right. That's not ideal, is it?
No.
I remember the gingerbread man.
It sounds terrifying, and it also reminds me of the time when I was walking, I might have told this before, but I was walking home from school, and there's a group of kids in front of us who were bullying another kid, and they didn't stop until he had two dead arms and two dead legs. So he couldn't actually get up.
Nice.
And at the time, you're like, oh, that's quite funny. Now, horrific.
Horrific. I mean, working, that's because when I go at the barbers, they do that. They sort of hit your arms. They pull your arms out and pull on your fingers and then give your arms a good beating.
Do they cut your hair?
Nah.
Nah. See you later. Do 20 you. Quid, get out. That's brilliant. All right, let's wrap up. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch. Thank you to Pete from Wrexham and all the other people who've got in touch over the last week. It's been
Pete
great to hear
Crete.
From you. Yeah, Pete in Crete. We'll be back on Monday with some more of this nonsense. Let's stick with the current homework. You thought you were going to die when?
Yeah.
What else have we got here? Text your parents or grandparents, ask them what they think the worst thing about you is. and tell us the most interesting encounter you've had with a telemarketer. He's Pete, I'm Luke. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.